Today we have to listen the third noble truth. Dukkha Nirodha Ariya Sitya. You all are not ignorant. You all are very mindful. So you understand there is a disease, there is suffering. All yogis are very lucky. You go to the great physician, he is a Buddha, and there is a disease, and you ask physician. A physician say there is a cause of disease. And the things you want to know is the disease is curable or not. A physician say, Buddha say, your disease can be durable. And Buddha described the third noble truth. Itam kopana bhikkhave dukkha nirodho ariya sicca. Yo tassaye wa tannaya asesa viraga nirodho jago. Pati nesago moti analeyo. So physician said, Buddha said, this is the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. It is a complete fading away and cessation of that hunger, cessation of that craving without remainder. It is forsaking and giving up, relinquishing and letting go of that hunger. It is a release from an abandoning and non-attachment to that craving. What Buddha said? Buddha said, the extinction of suffering is the cessation of that craving. So Buddha equates the extinction of suffering with the cessation of hunger. That means only through cessation of craving there can be the extinction of suffering. When there is no cessation of craving, there can be no extinction of suffering. Extinction of suffering means the cessation of craving, the cessation of the cause brings about the extinction of the effect. Now the cessation of craving, and it says remainderless fading away. The cessation of craving without any remainder. That is what is meant by the truth of cessation of suffering. So that comes at the moment of enlightenment, at the fourth stage of enlightenment, arhatship. Our craving and other mental defilements can be eradicated at the moments of first enlightenment, second enlightenment, and third enlightenment. it is only at the fourth stage of enlightenment that craving, that dana, and all other mental defilements are totally eradicated without any remainder. So the third noble truth, the noble truth of the cessation of suffering, is accomplished at the moment of at enlightenment in the fourth stage, that is total cessation or remainderless cessation. Asesa viraga nirodho. Raga means staying or die. Vi means not. So no staying, no die. And it is translated as fading away. But here the destruction is very forceful and final. It is not just fading away little by little. At this moment, it is like being struck by lightning. So it is not gradual fading away. It is just the disappearance of craving, disappearance of tanha, and disappearance of mental defilements at the moment of enlightenment. At the moment of enlightenment, there are no mental defilements in your mind. Mental defilements and enlightenment cannot arise at the same time. So kilesa and mega mental defilements and enlightenment cannot coexist. So the destruction of mental defilements or craving means rendering it impossible for them to arise in the future. Mental defilements do not arise in the future because their potential, their source, has been destroyed. So when yogi reached the stage of enlightenment, the later stage or their potential, anusya, is destroyed. There is total eradication, samuchita bahana. And there can be also temporary abandonment or temporary eradication during the time of preliminary path or during the time of vipassana meditation. When yogi practice vipassana meditation, yogi are actually destroying mental defilements. You are destroying ignorance, you are destroying craving, you are destroying hatred, etc. At the moment of vipassana practice, there is the cessation or there is the destruction of mental defilements. The destruction is only temporary or momentary. Only when you have vipassana knowledge, there is the extinction of these mental defilements. But when you do not practice meditation, when there are conditions, mental defilements will come back. Now you are practicing vipassana meditation. What are you observing? what you try to see, you are trying to see mind and matter, you are trying to observe mind and matter, and you trying to observe the five aggregates of clinging. So when you observe, you come to see that the things that are observed just arise and disappear. And also the noting mind that observe arise and disappear with these objects. So they come into being and they disappear . Do you confirm they are impermanent? Do you really accept they are unsatisfactory? Do you really understand they are insubstantial and so on? When you really see through your vipassana meditation that they are really coming and going, appearing and disappearing, and they are really impermanent, there can be no chance of ignorance to arise at that moment. So it is disappearing. If you see clearly, how can you grasp these objects? How can you crave for these objects at that moment? So that is temporary abandonment or temporary cessation of your mental defilements through your practice of meditation. As vipassana meditation gains momentum, and when your knowledge reaches its full maturity, it produces enlightenment. So at the moment of enlightenment, the eradication of mental defilement is final. Mental defilements will not arise again in your mind anymore. So the extinction of mental defilements is Nibbana. So we have to elaborate Nibbana according to Abhidhamma. So what Abhidhamma say, Nibbana, Nibbana Bana Logodra Singhata Chatumega Jnanina Sichi Katapa Megapalana Maramana Buddha Vana Singhataya Tanaya Nikhantata Nibbana Dipavo Jati Logodra Singhata. Nibbana is termed Logodra. Loka and Uttara, transcending the Loka. You very familiar Loka. Loka you are observing all the time. What is Loka? Loka means the world of five aggregates of clinging. So Nibbana is called Lokottara because it transcends the five aggregates of clinging. It transcends the world of five aggregates. So who realizes Nibbana? Nibbana is to be realized by the knowledge of the four paths. Nibbana is something or nothing. Nibbana is not nothingness, Nirvana is something. Nirvana can be realized by the knowledge of the four paths, Sotapatti, Mega, Sakadagami, Mega, Anagami, Mega, and Arata Mega. So that means Nirvana is a direct experience for practitioner who have gained enlightenment. Only when you gain enlightenment, your mind can take Nirvana as an object. At the moment of enlightenment, Megacitta arises. That Megacitta takes Nirvana as object. So when you experience Mega and Pala, you can experience Nirvana and you can take Nirvana as object directly. But when our practice is not complete, when we are enlightened, our understanding of Nirvana is not direct understanding, not direct knowledge. It is inferential knowledge. Nirvana is to be realized by the knowledge of the four paths. That means Nirvana is a direct experience for yogis who have gained any one of the four paths. Knowledge. Vana Singhataya Tanaya Nikantata Nibbana. It is called Nibbana because it is a departure from craving, which is an entanglement. So Nibbana, N-I-B-B-A-N-A, Nibbana. Is composed of ni and vana. So Nirvana is composed of the words ni and vana. Vana means entanglement or stitching together. This stitching together is nothing. It is craving. It is dana. So there are three exaggerator: dana, mana, and deity. These three are exaggerator. Dana, craving; deity, wrong view; and mana, pride. So based on deity and mana, based on wrong view and based on pride, we cling nama rupa, we cling mind and matter strongly. We grasp mind and matter happily. So dana is grasping, dana is clinging based on deity and mana. So dana is stitching and combining. It is craving. So long as dana is stitching, we are entangled, we are confused. So long as there is craving, there will be rebirth. And craving is like a thread that combines one thing with another. The stitching is vana, that thread is vana. And ni vana, what is ni? ni means getting out of. So nibbana means getting out of craving. Getting out of craving means nibbana cannot be the object of craving. Craving cannot take nibbana as object. Nibbana is beyond the range of craving. Also, there is no craving in nibbana. So nibbana is said to be out of vana, out of craving, out of attachment. So that is why it is called nibbana. And also commentary mentioned, it is called nibbana. It is called nibbana because through nibbana, the fires of greed, the fire of hatred, the fire of delusion, jealousy are extinguished. That is why it is called nibbana. So in that case, nibbana is derived from nibbati, that is to be blown out or to be extinguished. So to be extinguished of craving, to depart from craving, to get out of craving, it is nibbana. So for as long as we are entangled by craving, we remain bound in samsara. We have to go round and round in samsara. So long as there is craving, we cannot get out of samsara, rounds of rebirth. But when all craving has been eradicated, you attain nibbana, you attain deliverance from the cycle of birth and death. So again, nibbana is derived in two ways. Nibbana, getting out of craving, departure from vana, which is entanglement, or which is craving. Another meaning is nibbana is something through which the flames of greed, the flame of hatred, the flame of delusion are extinguished. So nibbana is twofold. One, the elements of nibbana with the residue remaining. Number two, the elements of nibbana without the residue remaining. So there are two kinds of nibbana. First, we must understand that nibbana is only one, according to its intrinsic nature, because nibbana is peace, santi lakkhana. But we can say there are two kinds of nibbana. That distinction is a basic for reference. The distinction is beings with residue remaining and beings without remaining. So two kinds of nibbana. The first one is saupadisesa. Second one is anupadisesa. Sesa means remaining, upadi. Kamakilesehi upadiyiti upadi. That means aggregates. So sa means with. So the meaning is with aggregates remaining. The elements of nibbana, which is with the aggregates remaining, is called sa upadi sesa. Nibbana dhatu. Anupadisesa means the opposite of that, the elements of Nibbana, which is without the aggregates remaining. It is Anupati Sisa. So two kinds of Nibbana, Sa-upadi Sesa Nibbana Dhatu and Anupadi Sesa Nibbana Dhatu. The first one is elements of Nibbana, which is with aggregates remaining. And second one is the elements of Nibbana, which is without the aggregates remaining. So we need to be familiar of that Nibbana, because we wish for Nibbana, so we need to understand. So please follow my recitation. Do Nibbana. Sa upadi sesa.
Sa upadi sesa.
Nibbana dhatu.
Nibbana dhatu.
Sa upadi sesa. Nibbana dhatu.
Nibbana dhatu.
Anupadi sesa.
Anupadi sesa.
Nibbana dhatu.
Nibbana dhatu.
Anupadi sesa.
Anupadi sesa.
Nibbana dhatu.
Nibbana dhatu.
The elements of Nibbana.
The elements of Nibbana.
Which is with aggregates remaining.
The aggregate remaining.
The elements of Nibbana.
The elements of Nibbana.
Which is without the aggregates remaining.
Without aggregates remaining.
So to Nibbana need to remember. You wish for Nibbana, not superficially really want to attain Nibbana. So you practice meditation very seriously. So long as you practicing, you practice correctly, you will become arahant. And when you become arahant, you extinguish all mental defilements, and all mental defilements are gone from you. So what remain? The remain is your body and other citta and cittasika, consciousness and mental states. So an arahant stay has a physical body, and some citta and cittasika, consciousness and mental state remaining. They are called remaining because when the mental defilements are eradicated, they remain. And arahant's minor matter are called upadi, upadi sesa, aggregates remaining. Remaining after the eradication of mental defilements. So when you realize Nibbana, the Nibbana which you realize while you stay having your body and mind, it is what Nibbana? Sa upadi sesa Nibbana. Yogi wish for Nibbana, yogi want to attain Nibbana, yogi want to escape from all suffering. So yogi practice meditation. Finally, yogi attain Nibbana. So there is Nibbana which becomes evident. After an arahant's death, when arahant dies, the mind and body disappear together. There is no more arising of mind and body. So that kind of Nibbana is called Nibbana without the aggregates remaining. That means the Nibbana after the death of Buddha, the Nibbana after the death of an Arahant is called Anupadisesa Nibbana. And also there are two kinds of Nibbana, Kilesa Parinibbana and Khanda Parinibbana. Kilesa Parinibbana is the same as Sa Upadisesa Parinibbana, and Khanda Parinibbana is the same as Anupadisesa Parinibbana. And also they are threefold according to its different aspect. Three Nibbana, Sonyata Nibbana, Animeta Nibbana, and Apanihita Nibbana. So that is void, signless, and desireless. So Sonyata, the first one is Sonyata, void. Sonya or Sonyata means devoid of greed, devoid of hatred, and devoid of delusion, etc. It is called Sonya because it is devoid of all that is conditioned. Sonyata Nibbana, it is devoid of all that is conditioned. There is nothing that is conditioned in Nibbana, and Nibbana itself is unconditioned, asingata. And second, Nibbana is animeta Nibbana, signless. Greed, hatred, and delusion are called sign. Being conditioned is called a sign, nimeta. Nibbana is called animeta, signless, because Nibbana is free from the signs of greed, hatred, and delusion, and Nibbana is also free from the sign of all conditioned things. The last one is Apanihita Nibbana. It is called Apanihita, desireless, because it is free from hankering of greed, hatred, and delusion, and also because it is not desired by craving. Not desired by craving means it is not the object of craving. And Abhidhamma mentioned, Badam Michutan Piyala Vana Mautam Mahisayo. All Buddhas, great seers, who are free from Dana, who are free from craving, declare that Nibbana is an objective state which is deathless, absolutely endless, unconditioned, and surpassed. So Nibbana is ichutam. Nibbana is deathless because it is without a beginning. If there is a beginning, there must be an end, there must be an ending. So we must understand this process very clearly. Most of the time we are not realistic in our hopes, we are not realistic in our desire. We don't want the ending of enjoyment, we don't want the ending of our desire, but we want the beginning of enjoyment. If we do not want the ending, we must not want the beginning. So if we do not want death, we must not want birth. When there is birth, there is death, it is natural law. Here Nibbana is Icchuttam. Nibbana is deathless because it is beginningless. We cannot say when Nibbana arises or when Nibbana disappears. We cannot say. Nibbana is absolutely endless. There is no end simply because there is no beginning in Nibbana. And Nibbana is asankata. Nibbana is unconditioned. Nama and Rupa, mind and matter, are conditioned by other mind and matter. But Nibbana is not conditioned. Nibbana is never the result of anything. Nibbana is never conditioned by any kinds of condition. So Nibbana is unsurpassed, anuttara. So that means Nibbana has no equal. So Mahisaya, Vanamuddha Mahisaya, those Buddha who are free from craving declare that Nibbana is an objective state, Nibbana is deathless, Nibbana is absolutely endless, Nibbana is unconditioned, and Nibbana is unsurpassed. So this is the explanation according to Abhidhamma. We have to stop our discourse for today. By practicing Satipatthana Vipassana meditation, by observing every phenomena occurring at the six senses, by noting sitting, standing, walking, lying, stretching, bending, seeing, hearing, etc., continuously and meticulously, may all yogis attain Nibbana, the cessation of all suffering. May all practitioners realize the real peace in the very near future.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.